In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
One of the things that people often ask us in the Orthodox Church is, how did people learn the scriptures or the Bible in the early years and the early days of the Church? If you think about it, before Gutenberg showed up with his printing press, there was it was very hard to get your hands on Bibles. I mean, they weren't just sort of at the local Barnes & Noble, or you couldn't pick one up. And the scrolls that were written were very hard to come by with the Word of God. And it was that way for centuries. And the Word of God, however, was preserved within the Church, within the proclamation of the apostles and the teaching of the bishops, their successors, and of course in local communities by priests. We also know of the iconography, even that iconography which existed, iconography of a sort, in the catacombs and other ancient places where the images of the life of Christ, of his miracles, the loaves and the fishes, you see these depicted upon the walls of the catacombs, even going back to the second and third century. And so we know that these would have been instructive to people about how the faith, the Christian faith is, what the content of the faith is. But there was another way that people learned that the content of the gospel. They didn't necessarily, most of the people couldn't read the scriptures. They could not gain that kind of intellectual understanding. It was just simply reserved for people who could read and who could study, and the great scholars of the Alexandrian school and whatnot. So how did they get it? They got it because they saw it. They saw Christianity. They didn't read about it. And dare I say, in some ways they weren't taught about it, or they were taught about it not only just simply in words, simply in telling the stories of the Gospels, but they saw it lived in the life of the Apostolic Church. And what is the nature, what is the content of the Gospel message that they saw? It was the content of the sacrificial life of that Apostolic Church, the offering of the apostles and their successors and all of the faithful in this community, in this sacrificial community, which was called the church, the Christians. That was the character, this way of sacrifice and servanthood. So it's little wonder then that when we look at and hear the Holy Gospel today, we could see a problem develop. Because on the one hand, I think that James and John were getting ahead of themselves. They were getting to the point where they could understand and believing really about what Jesus was saying to them, that there is this kingdom to come, and that this is what his desire was, to come into the world so that the kingdom would be at hand and so that people could participate in the kingdom. And it is probably a normal and a right hope that somehow we could fully participate in that. And so they go very boldly up to the Lord, and they say, Lord, we want this. We want to be part of your kingdom. It's interesting in the Venerable Bede's comments on this, he lauds them for this, that they wanted to seek Christ and his kingdom. They heard, but they did not understand. They didn't get it. In their whole approach to our Lord Jesus Christ, there was something missing. There was something wrong. There was something lacking in their hearts and in their minds and even in their actions. And it was this spirit of humility, the spirit of service, that spirit which the Lord himself bore in his very being, in his divine and human natures, that was before them, but they could not see it. They could not see what Christianity was really all about. They could understand what he said about the Old Testament and the fulfillment and all of this stuff. But they still didn't understand, really. So what is the Lord talking about? But he says to them, it shall be in service that the kingdom will be bestowed upon you. When you serve, when you take on the attitude and the heart of a servant, that is when you will receive the kingdom. And it's not even mine to give you, but it is for those who participate in the kingdom in this way. This is very different from our approach today to religion, where we believe that if we just get all of our rituals down right, if we somehow manage to memorize scripture, or if we get the, you know, our intellectual heads around this mystery, if we can just understand it, you know, we're going to get it, just like a math problem. And it's so much more than that, and dare I say, even different than that. The beginning of this process of humility is the realization that we can't get our heads or hands around it, our heads around the problem. We cannot understand Christianity. Instead, Christianity is something that must be revealed to us. You see, and it's in our pride that so often we try to seize things so that we can then manage them. Instead, what the Lord shows us is a way of humility, a way of self-abasement, a way of service of others that will be the characteristic of those who are his followers. And that furthermore, the catechesis of his church will be when they see service in love manifest. Then they'll say, oh, that's what it is to be Christian. By loving your neighbor, by serving the poor and those in need. How does this work? Well, there are a couple of different things. It's the real problem here, and this is the problem, dare I say, that James and John had, and we have, is that there's a hardness in our hearts. There is a pride and a vanity. And what actually service of others does to be the servant, what it does is it breaks that down. It breaks it down just like the hard soil that needs to be broken up before you plant in it this time of the year. That pride has to be broken down before the life of Christ can grow in us. And that's what service does. That's what service of the Lord does. Service of the Lord avails us to see the working of God's grace in the lives of other people. Instead of seeing, am I holy? Or, is the life of God in me? And focusing on ourselves all the time. When we look to others, and we see God's presence in others, we see God's working in others, and that he allows us then to participate in his life, in others, in his working in this way. So when we actually participate in doing things like feeding others, clothing others, assisting or teaching them, serving them, providing even administrative service to them and on behalf of others, it allows us to behold the working of God in our midst and in our lives. Another thing that it allows us to do, this way of service, allows us to actually see what our gifts are. You know, this is a problem in our way of approaching things sometimes. We put this big emphasis on gifts. Oh, this child is in the gifted program. Or I'm gifted with this. Or even sometimes we'll say with Holy Chrismation, well, you receive this gift of Holy Chrismation or that gift or whatever. Just as the Apostolic Church experienced this, this was a problem. And people were sitting around bragging about their gifts. They weren't. If they were using them, they weren't using them rightly, and certainly not with the right spirit. I would rather have no gifts or have one gift and use the gift. Doesn't matter how many gifts you have. The only thing that counts are the gifts that you use for the service of Christ. That's it. And the gift, the most important gift, as St. Paul says, the only real gift is love. That's what it's all about. That's the godly gift. That's the one that manifests God most clearly to us, is when we share and participate in that gift of love. And so let's not trip over our gifts. Okay, let us acknowledge that a God of love has blessed us and gifted us. And now let us put these gifts toward His purposes, to His service. And they don't have to be fancy. There are many ways that these gifts are manifest, in simple ways. We have our work party coming up. That's one way. Come pick up a paintbrush or a shovel. Doesn't take a whole lot of creativity. You don't have to stand in front of the congregation and give wise thoughts. Or pretend to. Instead, you have time. And so, you know, that's the gift. That's the gift you can offer. For God, for service. And God will accept that. God will be present in that. There are other ways, though, that we're called. We're called especially in these ways of serving others. Those of us who were blessed to participate in the trip to Grundy yesterday. We saw people who love people. We saw the presence of Christ in these people. I did. I think it can be affirmed from others. Why? Well, it's because they had been serving. And by serving, they've allowed the presence of Christ to come into their hearts. And this can happen for us as well. If we participate in this work, and if we do the work. We learn, if we do this work of service, to celebrate what God is doing in the lives of others. You know what that does? That defeats that envy. How many of us struggle with envy? We want to put ourselves first. We want to celebrate what we're all about. Instead, when we serve others, we celebrate their victories. I'll give you an example. I was touched yesterday by a woman. She has a ministry who... What she does is she teaches women basic skills, language skills, pass the GED, how to keyboard, how to add, how to do your checkbook, simple things. Okay, these are oftentimes women who had no education, had to drop out of school early. In one case, maybe their family lives were such that they just simply could not learn. Or school went too fast and they needed somebody to go slower with them. And the way she described the joy and her celebration of seeing when one of her students would just simply, her eyes would light up when she realized some simple math problem. Subtracting one another from number from another and getting a correct result. A woman who's maybe in her 30s or 40s. Simple skill that we take for granted. To learn to celebrate what God is doing in other people and not just in ourselves and focusing on what's going on in our life. In these ways, then, we begin to understand how this way of service opens our eyes to the presence of God and what the Christian gospel really is. There are some other things. Whenever we start down this path, I can tell you that from the two or three steps I've tried to trod down this path, turned around and gone back because it's too hard. But whenever I try, this is what I find. Maybe you've found the same things. Pride, where you end up doing things for your own good, and when it stops being for your own good, you quit. You're not out to serve anybody or anything else other than yourself. And so that's what gets confronted, is our pride. And we lack humility. We lack the real spirit of service. You know, one thing about the servant is the servant is not self-directed. I'm always amazed by this, and I'm always humbled by it in a good way. It's like when the bishop slaps me down. I don't mean that literally, but when the bishop corrects me because I do something wrong at the altar or something. It's a good thing. I'm humbled. Guess what? I can learn then and receive correction and direction. When we receive and learn how to receive correction and direction, you know what's happening? That pride is breaking up in our soul. It's no longer dominating us. There's a possibility of learning, of growing, of improving. Deal with the pride. When we see the face of God in the hands of others, not simply looking in the mirror at ourselves. One of the things that the way of service will teach us is patience. Anybody here need to learn patience? You know, and I thought again of this woman who taught, you know, these young women in this ministry. And I thought, what incredible patience that must take. That maybe it takes 30 or 40 times and she gets the wrong answer when she subtracts two numbers. And then finally, the light bulb comes on. And she understands. But if she would have gone through 38 tries and given up, there would have been no progress, just frustration. And how many of us, you know, experience this? We lack patience. That we don't believe that things happen in God's time. And we have to let things happen in God's time. And wait. This is part of the problem with James and John. They wanted their place at the Lord's right and at the Lord's left now. You see? And that's one of the things that service will do. That's one of the blessings of parenthood. You learn patience over and over and over again. The gift that God gives to you in service as a parent. Another thing that this service does is it takes us out of the realm of the theoretical Christianity. And you get your hands dirty. It becomes real. It becomes part of life. It's not just ideas that we think about in an ideal world that come and go. But it takes life in, it takes existence in our life as we see it and experience it. Another thing that we experience in the realm of service, and this is just another thing that I took with me from our little trip to Grundy, is that we will experience in this what the Lord was talking about of poverty. Not just hearing the teaching about poverty, but you will learn the experience of poverty. You know why? As the folks at these ministries told us or hinted at, they didn't talk about this or brag about it, but you could tell. Guess what? They serve the poor. And what happens when you run out? Well, you have to dig in yourself. You begin to disperse what you have. Not only your time, but maybe reach into your pocketbook. And your worldly treasures are now going to be dispersed. And so the saying, blessed is the poor, that theoretical, beautiful, lofty ideal, now becomes a reality because then you are blessed. Because you're becoming poor or poorer in some way. This dispersal of worldly treasures where you are stretched to share your resources and the things that God has given to you. So this is a wonderful gospel for us at this time of the year. Not that I want to use it to solicit activity in the work party, although, as I said, that's just simply one way of making it happen. But there are many other opportunities for service that we have. In the church, we have our service groups. That's why they're called that. It's because these are opportunities for service. And whether you work with the church school in religious formation, or whether you do administrative work on the parish board, or whether you work with the buildings and grounds group and get your hands dirty doing that stuff, or whatever, whichever these groups you involve yourself in, the notion here is not just to get the work done. The notion is for us to learn how to serve and to take on the mind and the heart of service. This, by the way, is an imperative. from Christ. It's not an option. This way of service is not an option. It is an imperative, and participation is required. And not just a minimal or token type of participation, but an immersion in some ways in our lives, in with ourselves. Finally, as I said, the early church, they learned the gospel by seeing it, by experiencing it. And I think that we do and can see the same thing. But if there's one thing that the early church and the holy apostles learned, was that they saw in the sacrifice of Christ, they saw in his outpouring of his total being on the cross, that's when they saw it. That's when they got it. That's when they saw what Christianity is really all about. This is what the cross is. It's this service, this the condescension of the Lord to accept the form of a servant. And you know, in this, in Orthodoxy, there's something interesting about the cross. For us, the cross is something of glorification and exaltation. Why? Because it's precisely in this servanthood. That's where the glory is. That's where the orthodoxy is, the doxa, the glory. It's in the service. It's in the outpouring. So we want to be Orthodox Christians, don't we? Let us be the people of Christ, the people of the cross, the people of service, the people that not only do that, but do it with a right heart and make progress in our spiritual lives and come to the understanding of what Christianity and Orthodoxy really is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you.